Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today it happens to be unusual for me because I'm actually in the offices of the OU and I'm talking to my very good friend, the person I respect, admire, Rabbi Menachem Ganek. Rabbi Ganek, how are you today?
Good.
Rabbi Ganek, if most people probably don't know, is a man who's involved in everything. There's nothing he's not involved in. He's a rabbi, he's an author, he's a speaker, he's head of OU Kashrus, and he's actually now written a book called Letters to President Clinton. I know a lot of things about you, Rabbi Ganek, and I never thought this was something I was going to see. A book on Bereshis, a book on Chidushim about the Rav, but President Clinton, how did this relationship start?
Well, the relationship began when President Clinton, then Governor Clinton, was running for the presidency. There was an event in New Jersey, which I introduced him at. And at that, if you recall, at that time, some people were talking about, Time magazine had an article about it, President Bush's lack of vision. President Bush used to mockingly call it the vision thing. And when I introduced Governor Clinton, I said, quoting from Mishlei, from Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish, indicating that vision is an essential ingredient of leadership. And the president said, you know, I like that. I'm going to use that at my acceptance speech in the convention. And indeed he did.
Really?
And it became a rhetorical theme that he pivoted to and came back to in his speech.
So with that, you kind of developed the relationship with him. And then how did you start actually sending him? Was that on a weekly basis or just depending on what was going on?
It wasn't every week. I'd say it was probably biweekly. It started, after that, he invited me to the White House. And then I used to hand him these different essays that I would prepare in advance. One of the first ones was about Judah and Joseph. Why is it that we know that Yehuda, Judah, is chosen to be the progenitor of kingship and the house of David, as opposed to Joseph, Yosef, who seems on the surface to be so much more suitable? After all, he was a ruler. He reorganized the entire Egyptian economy, saved the nation from famine. He's perfect in every respect, never gives in to temptation. Why Judah? And I quoted Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav said that what we look for in a leader is not perfection, but what we look for in a leader is the ability to admit a mistake, not to be wedded to a disastrous policy. And that was Yehuda with his relationship with Tamar. Mm-hmm. He admits to it. And when I wrote him that note, my daughter Tamar typed it. There was a typo instead of Genesis 38, it said Genesis 28. He wrote me back a note, handwritten note, it's Genesis 38.
Ah, so then you know that he really looked at it. Very interesting. Well, President Clinton was a person who was always quoting the Bible a lot. Is he really, into the Bible? He looks at it all the time?
Well, first of all, in terms of his knowledge of Bible, It's extraordinary. I'll just give you two examples. One is Martin Marty, who is a distinguished Christian theologian and a professor of history of Christianity at the University of Chicago. Now he's emeritus. Told me that he was once part of a group of important, prominent Christian leaders from all different denominations, evangelicals, Catholics, different Protestant denominations. And one of them, a very prominent evangelical, says to the president, "Mr. President, I've been praying for you." And the president said, "What he's been praying?" And he quoted a verse in Chronicles. He said, "I've been praying from Chronicles 1. President Clinton looked at him, it's Chronicles 2.
Uh-huh. Okay. I remember him talking about reading the book of Joshua. I heard several speeches maybe before he went to Israel and...
I was with him with the day of the signing, in September. And there was a meeting right after that, and I'm wearing my Joshua tie because there were trumpets on it.
Okay.
So I guess he meant, because... The initial Oslo agreements, as they were signed between the Palestinian Authority and Israel, involved, Arafat controlling Jericho,
Right.
And I think he probably meant the metaphor, the walls are coming down.
So now, the way the book is written, you've really kind of broken it down into segments, okay? And leadership, sin and repentance, creation, community. So which one do you think he appreciated the most? Which one do you think President Clinton...
Which section or which letter?
Which section? Well, we'll talk about the letter individual. What about the section? I mean, you know, look... Everybody knows President Clinton, the charismatic, dynamic person, but certainly when it comes to sin and repentance, people will associate President Clinton with that also, unfortunately, part of his legacy. So how did that work out?
Well, I mean, to be candid, you know, sin and repentance is something that we all have to relate to.
No question about it, but not everybody's president. Okay?
Right. And in one of the missives, actually, that was written by Joe Lieberman, it's about, Senator Lieberman wrote a beautiful piece about day and night, and the question that he posed was, why is it that the Jewish day, Yom HaLecha HaLaila, begins with night? Right. It would make more sense to start with the day, because first you have light, and then you have the negation of light. How does it start with darkness? And what Senator Lieberman suggested is that the reason is because in order for us to appreciate all of God's gifts and the bounty that's represented by the light and the day, we have to first suffer through the adversity of the night. And Chazal say that Adam HaRishon said Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos was, after he sinned and was exiled from Gan Eden, from Eden, the first, that night when this was the first day he experienced, he was born on the sixth day, or created on the sixth day, and that night he was already exiled from Gan Eden, and that was Shabbos. So the first, when he saw the sun coming down, and it was in pitch darkness, he thought this was the end of the world. His sin had destroyed the world. And when the sun rose again the next day, he said, Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, and with it comes the atonement. With it comes the message of hope and redemption. And at that time, Adam sings this song, Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos. So the president wrote him back, Dear Joe, thank you for your reflections on night and day, sin and redemption, and repentance. All of us need to reflect on these things, no one more than me. Sincerely, Bill.
Great. That's incredible. So which is your favorite letter that you wrote to him? And I saw it in the book. You know, those who, get the book, and it's really interesting. And by the way, it has a foreword by Bill Clinton. He actually writes a foreword in the book. But, you know, he answers, you know, several of the letters. So which was your favorite, and which was his favorite response that you liked the best?
I would say there are two that I think that he liked. Because he wrote handwritten notes afterwards saying, underlined that he loved them. One was, I wrote him a piece about Lag BaOmer, about the 33rd of the Omer, and, you know, what it represents. Why is it? It's a semi-holiday of sorts. And I told him the story about Rabbi Kiva and Bar Kochba, that Rabbi Kiva during that period between Pesach and Shavuos, according to Chazal, 24,000 of his disciples died in a plague. Rav Soloveitchik thought the plague was a metaphor that they died in battle against Rome, in the rebellion. And here Rabbi Kiva sees his whole life's work destroyed, decimated. 24,000 students died. And the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that Rabbi Kiva then went to the south of Israel, and he found five students, and he taught them Torah, and for that, the Torah and that which he did was rebuilt, and there was a continuity to what he did when he had accomplished before, after the catastrophe of all his students being killed, and how Rabbi Kiva was always the man of optimism, even when he saw the Mokum HaMikdash desolate after the Churban, after the destruction, he was able to laugh because he saw the potential for redemption, and. So in the book, I printed the letter that he wrote, that he loved the story about Rabbi Kiva, and, you know, a story that, and Lag BaOmer, which he was completely ignorant of, and, you know, that potential for hope is something that inspired him. So that was one that I enjoyed, and that I think he liked. There's another one written by Raoul Hoffman, who is a professor of chemistry at Cornell, a winner of the Nobel Prize in chemistry. So he's not only obviously a great scientist, but also a poet. So he wrote a story about, this was right before President Clinton left office. You know, it would have been you know, a month or two before he left office. And Ralph Hoffman writes about, you know, what Moses, why was he punished at Meriva and so on, what was the sin? But the end, what do we see at the end is, you know, the potential for a new beginning. And so President Clinton wrote back a note saying that he loved the poem, mm-hmm. and that he looks forward to the prospect of having a new beginning as he leaves the presidency.
Maybe you could give some insight. I know he had a very good relationship with Yitzhak Rabin. Seemed to be a real personal relationship. Do you know much about that?
Well, actually, there are two pieces here that speak to that. One, there's a piece here that his granddaughter, Noah Rothman, who you remember gave the eulogy at her grandfather's funeral, and it was very moving. She was a young teenager at the time, saying, you know, that Yitzhak Rabin was the fire before the camp, but now without him, everything is dark. Actually, just last week was Yitzhak Rabin's 18th Yahrzeit. Clinton had an exceptionally close relationship with Rabin. He admired him very much. He thought he was both in terms of his intellect and his courage. He thought he was the irreplaceable person, especially in terms of the piece. He once told me, he said, that boy, referring to Yigal Amir, Rabin's assassin, he said, that boy knew what he was doing, because he knew if you killed Rabin, everything would come to an end. Mm-hmm. And Clinton believed, I mean, one could dispute this, but argue with it, that had Rabin lived, the peace process would have come to a successful conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's, of course, very speculative. But even in one of the letters is written about Amalek, is written by Justice Eliyahu Rubinstein, who was a justice of the Supreme Court in Israel, happens to be a Talmid Chacham also. And Eliyahu wrote him about Amalek, Eliyahu Rubinstein, who was formerly the Attorney General of Israel and one of the chief negotiators on Rabin's, you know, especially with Rabin, writes about how during the, you know, the end push at Camp David, when they're trying to reach before Clinton's term is over, and Arafat is completely intransigent, and Arafat denies that there's a Jewish link to the Harabais.
Right.
So President Clinton told Eliyahu Rubinstein, tonight, go through the Bible, write down different citations of Jerusalem in the Bible, so we could demonstrate, you know, the Jewish link, which he did. He said he there was a lieutenant commander who was a chaplain. He got a Bible from him, and that's what he did. He gave it to Clinton the next morning, and when Clinton met with Arafat, he handed it to him in frustration and anger. And in the letter that he writes back to Rubinstein, he writes thanking him for the letter about Amalek, and then he says, and thank you for your assistance you gave to Prime Minister Rabin. I think about him and miss him every day.
Wow. Unbelievable. No, I mean, you always knew, whenever you would hear him speak about it, you knew he had this relationship, but I always wondered how it came about. Who do you think the audience is for the book? I mean, it's not just a Jewish audience, right?
Well, I think there are different audiences, and different audiences would take things away from it. Obviously, part of it is a Jewish audience. That's one that I wanted to direct it to as well, just in terms of the substance themselves of the misses. I hope, as President Clinton writes in the foreword, that they'll be of use, maybe inspiration to others as well. The book itself, I think, has some historical significance. Just people see a side of Bill Clinton that they might not have been aware of.
Right, and I also think that, you know, today we're kind of reeling from the results of the Pew report that came out.
Right.
And you think about all the non-affiliated Jews who could read a book like this and say, the wisdom, in a very concise way, to show them the wisdom of the Bible, because they look at it, either they don't know it at all, or they look at it as some kind of fairy tale, or, you know, something they learned when they were 12 years old. Here they see the President of the United States, obviously a very intelligent, intellectual person, found wisdom in the Bible, and you were able to show it to him. But I think it's a way, I'm going to use this as a book to give to people I know, Jewish people I know, who don't really know much, and say, look, here, read this. I think you'll really enjoy it. I think they're going to get a lot out of it.
You know, that's exactly the audience. And in my own mind, that was the association I meant when I heard about the Pew Report.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really think it's going to be great. So are you going out on any kind of a speaking tour for the book, or you're just too busy?
The last 2 days I did what's called a radio tour.
Radio tour, okay.
You stay in your home, and the publisher, the OU Press is one of the publishers, right, jointly with Sterling, which is a division of, it's owned by Barnes & Noble. And I just sat in a chair, and for hours, every 10 minutes, I was on a different radio show.
All over the country.
Corpus Christi, Virginia.
Really?
Upstate New York.
That's great. And of course, the highlight is coming on the OU website, of course, because where else could you get the right audience for this book?
No question.
Well, listen, you know, as I said to the people earlier, it's really interesting. Robin Ganach is a Renaissance person. Letters to President Clinton, an excellent book called Biblical Lessons on Faith and Leadership. I highly recommend it, and I want to thank you very much
for
coming on the program today. Thank you so much. Have a good day.